Connor Hanley is joining us via the phone. He just got home from Standing Rock. How are you doing, Connor?
I'm doing good, Lindsay. Thanks for having me on.
For sure, thanks. I know that you are pretty tired because you have been traveling all night long to get back home from Standing Rock, so I appreciate you calling in and talking with us today.
No problem.
So you just got back early this morning, right?
I got back yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday afternoon. Okay, you got back yesterday afternoon. That was the second time that you have been to Standing Rock.
Yeah, exactly. I went out there for the first time about 2 weeks ago, last Saturday, and came home, had to go to class, and turned around and went right back as soon as I was done. So.
Right, and so you had mentioned, I got to speak with you a little bit earlier before talking with you today. You had mentioned that when you were coming back yesterday, that it was kind of a bit of a challenge for you to get out of North Dakota, and you were trying to make sure that you got out without any incident from local police. Is that correct?
Yeah. So local police in North Dakota, specifically the Morton County Sheriff's Department, have been pretty indiscriminately checking and arresting Indian protesters and protectors going out of that area. So they have roadblocks along the road, and they stop people for just about anything right now. There's a lot of targeting going on, especially of high-profile activists, so people who are active on Facebook and other social media. The police are actually watching those Facebook accounts and arresting people based on things that they've posted online due to, you know, laws being broken around trespass and that sort of thing.
And so how does that compare to the first time that you were there? And has that changed the vibe of what's of the encampment there at Standing Rock?
Well, the encampment has been dealing with arrests and other things like that for a while now. Actually breaking right now, I'm hearing reports of up to 30-something people being arrested just within the past hour. At a construction site about 20 miles from the encampment, where a few days ago we received a statement from three departments within the Obama administration, the Department of Justice, the Department of Interior, and the Department of the Army, put out a statement asking for the company to halt construction around the encampment and around where it crosses the Missouri River. But construction is continuing 20 miles away from that site and in every other direction. So today, some of the people out at the site went to where construction is still happening. That's still going to affect the people of Standing Rock. And they locked down onto some of the equipment, and police responded in full riot gear with armed weapons and high power rifles, that kind of thing. There's an incredible amount of police there right now, and a lot of action happening at this moment.
And so when you were there, you had described to me that the whole vibe of the encampment itself was really positive and uplifting, and it seemed kind of to function with very little to no effort. Do you feel like this is the first time that we've seen police showing up armed and with full riot gear? Is that correct?
Yeah, at this point it is. The camp is incredible. It's a incredible place, and I've never seen a gathering of so many people that's so clean, so well organized, and there's no one giving big orders or telling people what to do. People just are helping each other. It's pretty amazing to experience. There's hundreds of different tribes from all over the country, all over Canada, even some people from Mexico and the Amazon there to support our brothers and sisters out at Standing Rock. And there's never been a gathering of this scale of Native American peoples in history for a cause like this. So to see the incredibly violent response of both the police and the private security hired by the Dakota Access Pipeline Company is it's pretty terrifying.
I can imagine. And so you were there actually when you were there when Amy Goodman was there from Democracy Now, and she kind of brought a lot of light to what is going on in Standing Rock when, and that happened to be, that seemed like it was in itself a turning point, and that happened when the private company guards had showed up with guard dogs. And they were attacking some of the peaceful protesters at Standing Rock. That happened a little over a week ago. At that point in time, the people of Standing Rock were kind of still waiting around to hear about the injunction that was scheduled to be looked at by Judge Boasberg on September 9th. And now it appears that the judge decided that the injunction was not, he wasn't going to follow through with that. That the construction company was in compliance with everything. And then there was this conflicting notification that came through via the Obama administration. How was that perceived by the people who were there gathered at Standing Rock? Did they see that as a victory, or did that seem to ease the tension there a little bit, or how was that?
Well, it's the statement, you know, I think everyone at the camp recognizes that the statement is only delaying a decision. You know, it doesn't promise anything. It only asks for the company to stop construction around a tiny percentage of what's actually going on. What kicked all this off is what you mentioned last Saturday. The company was working about 20 miles away from where the camp is after protests and actions that had happened a few weeks ago where up to 17 people were arrested. So they had moved, and last Saturday, when everything happened with Amy Goodman being there, the company actually had received a request for injunction from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe a few days prior. So the company did a survey of the land that they were working on and said that they found no evidence of human remains or anything like that. The tribe did its own survey a few days later and found dozens of sites of people who were buried in different kinds of prayer circles, teepee rings, all kinds of artifacts. And then they sent the coordinates of those sites to the Dakota Access Pipeline Company. The company picked up all their equipment the next day and moved 15 miles down the road exactly to where those sites are and began construction. And that's when protesters showed up, and I had just arrived that day. We rushed the site of construction and tried to chase off put ourselves in the way of the bulldozers. And that's when the company brought out attack dogs and let some of them loose on protesters. And that was actually, you know, it wasn't just they were trying to defend themselves. I saw one of those security company guys release his dog and yell to go get them while he was releasing it. The dog bit a horse in the chest, and then he came in, the handler, and started throwing punches. I was actually punched in the stomach and saw other people hit in the face by this man. You can see it in the Amy Goodman video. So it's really, really disturbing now that arrest warrants have been issued for Amy Goodman, but also other protesters who were there that day, including Cody Hall, who's been a prominent activist. He was arrested just driving down the road a few days later, and a warrant was out for his arrest because of what happened the same day that Amy Goodman was charged.
So the protesters that were there and that were present at this particular instance where they were trying to peacefully intervene with the bulldozers that were making their way to bulldoze these sacred sites to the Sioux tribe. And those people have been arrested and charged, warrants been put out for their arrest, but I can't find any information that would indicate that the personal security guards that were hired by the Dakota Access Pipeline Company, there have been no charges brought against them for them releasing dogs or for any violence that they might have caused.
Not at all, and you probably won't, not from the county level at least. The Morton County Sheriff's Department has been very clear from the beginning that they side with the pipeline company. Actually, just a few moments after all the violence happened, they put out a statement saying that protesters had attacked the company and had attacked private equipment, trespassed on private property. and very much in favor of what the company is doing out there. And the whole time, while the company was attacking us and sicking dogs on us and using pepper spray, the sheriff's department sat on the side of the road and did nothing to help us.
It sounds very, very tragic and unfortunate that what is going on there. And my heart is going out to the people who are now, it seems like this presence from the police is kind of escalating. I had heard reports of them showing up in full riot gear. I was not able to confirm that with any valid source, but it sounds like that is happening right now. And there still remains a peaceful protest from the Native Americans who are gathered at Standing Rock, and they are trying to halt the construction. Sounds like the construction was halted in 3% of the area.
Yeah, so the statement that came out from the three federal agencies that I talked about earlier a few days ago asked for construction to be halted in just 3% of the total area of construction, which is the 20 or so miles around the Missouri River. And that was only asking them to voluntarily stop construction. They don't have to. The one thing that those agencies did do, however, was convince the Army Corps of Engineers not to approve the company's plans to drill underneath the Missouri River, and that's also only temporary until the Army Corps of Engineers can look further into what the environmental impacts of that will be. So really, that should have been done since the beginning. It's only that the North Dakota government has tried to rush this project really, really strongly, and that's what gave them the go-ahead. I think in California, it would have been a lot harder for them to get that kind of a permit.
Because there was no environmental impact statement prior to them actually starting the construction?
I believe there are portions of the environmental impact statement that are still incomplete, which, like I said before, in California, that would be a lot harder to push through. But in this case, the state is really, really pushing for this pipeline project because of the amount of money that's invested in it.
And so throughout all of this, and with that verdict coming in on September 9th, and then the confusion that I imagine that would come as a result of that joint statement that was released by the federal government, what is the Native perspective on how this is moving forward? Are the Native people at Standing Rock feeling like they're being heard? Do they feel like this is a step forward, or what's next?
That's a tough question. I think that, it's different from all kinds of different perspectives. There's different kinds of Native people out there, and different people believe different things. But the majority, I would say, of people out there realize that statement was just an act of stalling. And really, so far, there's very little trust from people on the ground there in Standing Rock that the government is going to do the right thing here. We can only hope, but I think that's why people are so invested. They put their whole lives into going out there and camping. Some people have dropped everything, stopped their jobs, moved out of their houses so that they could be there at Standing Rock and put their lives on the line to defend their water and their land. Because there is that little trust that someone is going to do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves.
Right. So you had mentioned that there's a perception that issue from the government is just a term of a way to stall the project. What would be the why would they want to stall the project? What's the benefit in the government putting this off?
Right now, the camp fluctuates at about 5,000 to 9,000 people strong. Depending, during the weekend, a lot more people show up, and then they have to go home and go to work afterwards. But still, there's thousands there, and I think the government knows, or whoever is, working on this, they understand that the longer the camp stays, the the harder it's going to be to sustain that level of people out there, especially in North Dakota during the wintertime when temperatures drop into the negative 30s. And a lot of the people that are there, you know, come from Standing Rock and Pine Ridge and those surrounding areas, which are some of the poorest counties in the entire United States. We're talking third world conditions. And so the people from there, they can't afford the nice North Face jackets and expensive sleeping bags to keep them warm camping in that kind of area. So they know that it's going to get harder, which makes it all that much more important to get outside support into there. More donations of camping gear and supplies, firewood, those kind of things that'll help the people there on the ground to sustain themselves as it gets colder.
And when you left the base camp yesterday, what was the sentiment of the people there? How did it feel differently from the first time that you were in Standing Rock, if it did feel any different? And what was the difference in the climate from the first time that you were there to when you left yesterday?
Well, I think people realize that, you know, on Saturday, last Saturday when the statement came out, there was, you know, a feeling of celebration and of happiness there, because although we realize it's not a victory, it was something small, and it was an acknowledgement that the federal government was paying attention to what happened here, and that made people feel good. But quickly, I think we realized that that's only the beginning of a much longer fight. And so as I left, it was hard to leave because I saw it in everyone's eyes there that they recognized that things were going to escalate, and we're seeing that right now today. It's happening. So I'm already planning and trying to figure out when I can take another caravan of supplies back to Standing Rock to help people on the ground.
And for people in our community, there is an event going on today at the courthouse, organized by the North Coast People's Alliance. They're going to be gathering there in solidarity with Standing Rock. They encourage folks to show up with signs and to be there gathered and sending good thoughts to the community out there. Those who want to become more involved and send supplies or go there, what can we do as a community aside from putting together these solidarity events to draw more attention to this issue and to support the people who are there on the ground?
Well, one thing that we've seen throughout this whole process is really a media blackout of what's going on there. You don't see a lot of reporting on it on mainstream news. There's been a few selective people here and there. That's why I think people were so thankful to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! For being out there. But now we're seeing the consequences for journalists of even reporting on this. It's pretty amazing that we have to think about that in 2016, that a journalist could be targeted for standing up and showing people what's really happening when it's obvious that the government and media don't want you to see what's going on in Standing Rock. So a big thing is raise awareness, tell people about what's happening, share it on social media, on every kind of site you can. That's how most people have found out about what's happening out here, is because of social media. So go and find the Red Warrior Camp on Facebook, like their Facebook page. You can follow people like Dallas Goldtooth or the Indigenous Environmental Network, which are covering events on the ground as they happen. They also have lots of information about where you can donate supplies, gear, money. They have a station set up at the tribe in Standing Rock where you can mail packages of anything that you need. I can provide the address if you want it, to send packages of food, supplies. I think the big thing, though, that they're asking for is warm jackets, warm camping gear, sleeping bags, whatever will help people when the winter comes very soon here.
All right, Connor, thank you so much for joining us. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with HSU student and member of the Yaqui tribe. This is Connor Handley, and he is just returning from his second trip to Standing Rock, North Dakota, where he's giving a little bit of perspective, a little bit of his side of the story. And there is going to be an event going on at the courthouse. If you want to go down, get involved. It's going on 4:30 a day until 6 here in Eureka. And Connor, is there anything else that we didn't touch on that you wanted to mention? Do you want to touch on anything else, or does that sound about the gist of the story that you wanted to share with us today?
Yeah, I think we covered a lot. There's a whole lot of information out there. There's a whole lot of misinformation that's been shared. I would just say that, you know, I'm 23 years old, and you know, in my lifetime, there's never been anything like this that's happened, and I don't think anyone has ever seen anything like this, a gathering of Native American peoples of this level. And, you know, it's not an exclusive fight. It's not just Native people that are fighting here. We're fighting for everybody's water supply. Nobody can live without water. And what happens to the Missouri River happens to the Klamath and to everywhere else. If we stand up here and support one another here in Standing Rock, then I think that in the future, you know, if we win this battle, then we'll have the courage to go and support other people's fights all over the world and in our own backyard. So thank you for having me on the air. And it's really important that you keep covering this story, because you're not going to hear it on the TV and on mainstream news sources. It has to come from local radio stations and word of mouth and sharing on social media. For the truth to really get out about what's happening there.
All right. Well, thank you again, Connor Handley. I'm going to get some more resources for you to stick on the line, and I will get some more resources from you to post along with the audio. If you're just tuning in and you wanted to hear the whole conversation we were having with Connor, we're going to have that up on khum.com and up on our KHUM Facebook page here very shortly, and as well as some resources like where can you send some supplies if you have an extra warm sleeping bag sitting around your house. If you want to send it there, you can send it to the tribe, and we'll have all that information posted for you up on khum.com as well. And I encourage you, if you would like to learn more, delve into it yourself, look, research it on the internet, look it up online, and attend the solidarity event that is happening at the courthouse today at 4:30. It is time for us to take a real quick break. You're listening to KHUM. My name is Lindsay, filling in for Larry while he is away. And when we come back from this break, I will have some more music for you here. So stick around. Thanks for listening to KHUM.